Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, Allahu nuru as-samawati wal-ard, mathalu nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah, al-misbahu fi zujajah, az-zujajatu ka'annaha kawkabun durriyun, yuqadu min shajaratin mubarakatin zaytunatin la sharqiyatin wala gharbiyah, yakadu zaytuha yudhi'u walau lam tamsashu nar, nurun ala nur, يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس والله بكل شيء عليم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example of His nur, of His light. In Surah An-Nur, chapter The Light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah nuru as-samawati wal-ard. Allah is the light of heavens and earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the exemplitude of His light. And He says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. It's like a niche in the wall. And inside the niche is a lamp. And that lamp, it has a glass. The glass itself is so bright, كَأَنَّهُ كَوْكُبٍ دُرِّي, is like a glittering star. And then the lamp itself is lit by an oil, which is from the olive oil. مَثَلُ نُورِ يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. الشجرة المباركة, the blessed tree, is the tree of olives. And it says زَيْتُونَ. And it is an olive tree. The oil itself is just about to light even without touching touching fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nurun ala nur, light upon light. And the ulama said that the light is, in this context, is the light of hidayah, the light of revelation, of wahi, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the light, upon the light which is the light of fitrah, the instinct that we were created with. We were created with the instinct of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the light of revelation, wahi, projected upon the light of instinct, then that is the maximum you can achieve. Nurun ala nur. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to His light whoever He wills. Which gives also a hint that the nur here is the nur of guidance, the light of guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the messages in the Quran, in Islam, and the previous messages before that. And if that is projected upon the light of fitrah, the light of instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us believing in Him, then nurun ala nur, that is a light upon light, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to His light whoever He wills. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention something which is very, very interesting to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. In houses which Allah ordered to be raised, in order that His name is glorified and remembered. That is, of course, through the adhan, through the salah, through the tasbih, through reading Al-Quran, through the circles of knowledge within the masjid. يذكر فيها اسمه، يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال. Therein glorify him in the morning or in the mornings and in the evenings, men whom neither trade nor sale business diverts them from the remembrance of Allah, nor from performing salah and giving zakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning his nur, his light, and then he says light upon light, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to his light whoever he wills, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masajid, the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to be raised so as he may be remembered in this masajid, in these mosques, or in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they say, when we say the house of Allah, it is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as in terms of glorification, to raise the importance of these houses. And if you say Masjid Abu Bakr or Masjid Aisha or Masjid Qiba, or so it is attributed to a name للتعريف, so as we know which one is which. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these houses of his established so as he can be remembered, and whoever goes to these places to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are people who are not deterred by their business. لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع, business or sale. And subhanallah, just to stop there, even in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, in the last three ayat that we mentioned last time, وذروا البيع, and leave sale. And if you think about it, whatever you do, whether you are into agriculture, or you have livestock, or you build things, or you make things, invent things, a car or TVs or telephones, whatever you do, at the end of the day, or you produce wheat and you want to sell your sheep, you want to sell it. If you're growing anything, if you're doing anything, if you're studying at the university, at the end of the day, you want to sell something. Sell your services, sell whatever you produce. That's why the word وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعَ, and leave sale, is there mentioned. And here, لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعَ. If you want to buy, you say, I'll buy tomorrow. So what? I've got my money in my pockets, and maybe tomorrow I'll find a better deal. You are not in a rush. But if you are a salesman, then you want to sell today before tomorrow, because tomorrow you don't know, you want to sell more tomorrow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these two places, in Surah Al-Jumu'ah and in Surah An-Nur, when describing the people who do not, they are not deterred by business or sale, لا تليهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله, because والله أعلم, at the end of the day, whatever we do, we need to sell it, and that is not a deterrent for the believers to go to the salah, to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to pay zakah. لا تليهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. Remembrance of Allah, establishing salah, and paying zakah. All these are the attributes of those who direct their faces to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They fear a day when hearts and eyes will turn out of fear of Allah and out of fear of the day of judgment, that Allah may reward them. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them not according to what they have done, but according to the best of what they have done, according to the best of their deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you the average of what you have done. He will give you the best of what you have done. As in another ayah in Surah Az-Zumar, لِيُكَفِّرَ عَنْهُمْ أَسْوَأَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Forgive them for the worst they have done and reward them for the best of what they have done. Subhanallah, you will never find any generosity beyond this. It is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ according to the best of their deeds and add even more for them out of His grace. And Allah provides without measure to whom He wills. Al-Masajid, dear brothers and sisters, is a word that refers to prostration. Al-Masjid, if you are not familiar with the Arabic language, we call them mosques, and they can be called the houses of worship, the houses of Allah, the house of Allah. But the word in Islam is Masjid, and if it is a big place, they call it Al-Masjid Al-Jami'. Al-Jami' because it is large enough to entail and gather. Al-Jami' means the gathering of more and more people. One of the approaches towards a masjid, dear brothers and sisters, is really to think of the masjid the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his masjid. Not the way we see it today. And why I say that? Because there is a huge disparity. I usually don't like to offer things in a negative sense. I like to approach it from a positive alay, because unfortunately negative things stick to the mind. But what I would tell myself and you, dear brothers and sisters, is that what we know as a masjid today is not exactly what the masjid was at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's I would say. And I say that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he arrived at Al-Madina, the first thing he did that he established the masjid. The masjid was the focal and central point of all the Muslims. The masjid was not only, of course, it is the place of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a place to establish the five prayers, Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, but also to pray Sunan, to make Tasbih. The masjid is where you can be nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through prostration. أقرب ما يكون العبد وهو ساجد إلى ربه وهو ساجد. The nearest we are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to our Lord, when we are making sujood, and that is the place of in al-masjid. It is a place for Jumu'ah, to gather people together. But also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had many other functions attached to the masjid. Almost everything apart from what the Prophet ﷺ said you couldn't do, which is selling and buying inside the masjid, that is not allowed. And it is not allowed to say, oh, I forgot my watch or my mobile. You should not say that. If there is something lost in the masjid, someone would have collected and put it somewhere that people would know. You should, نشد الضالة is not allowed. Also, it is not a place to establish penal the penal punishments. The masjid was not a place for that. But otherwise, the masjid was for establishing as-salah, for dhikrillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of reading the recitation of Al-Quran, the circles of knowledge. And if you look into the history of Islam, the great ulama, Al-Bukhari, wa Muslim, Al-Shafi'i, wa Ahmad, wa Abu Hanifa, wa Amalik, and so many of the ulama of Islam, and of course the Sahaba to start with, the scholars of all scholars, their knowledge was established at Al-Masjid. So it was a place to gain knowledge, a place to understand Islam. Also, it is a place for da'wah. The Prophet ﷺ used to receive the messengers from other nations into the masjid. The non-Muslims used to approach the Prophet ﷺ and he used to receive them at the masjid with their messages and give them his message to their leaders, kings, etc. It was a place to even look after the sick. In some cases, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, one of the leaders of Al-Ansar, he was injured during Ma'rakat al-Khandaq, the battle of Al-Khandaq, the trench. He was hit by an arrow, and he did not heal from that arrow. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered that he has a place in the masjid where people can visit him. Of course, ultimately, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, passed away from his injury. The masjid is a lively place, dear brothers and sisters, where we know that adults, men, come 5 times a day, but also women are not to be deterred from the masjid, although لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله وبيوتهن خير لهن. In here, as I mentioned last time, I really welcome everyone to come and attend the Jumu'ah and attend the Khutbah, because that is knowledge for everyone. It is a must on men, but also sisters, if they want to come, they should be more than welcome. Children, we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he had his grandchildren, Al-Hasan al-Husayn, and also Umayma, they used to be in the masjid. And sometimes children do not behave in the best way you think. You know, they may make some noise. They used to ride the Prophet ﷺ while he is leading the prayers, leading the rows of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And yet he did not mind that. It is said that al-masjid mawdu'un li-amri jama'ati al-muslimin, fama kana min al-a'mali yajma'u manfa'at al-deen wa ahlahu jazafi. This is a statement. It says al-masjid is established so as the Muslims, the community of Muslims around that masjid, is to benefit from it. Anything that benefits them, the masjid can be used for that. We know also, by the way, during Eid, Al-Habasha, which is a group of people from Abyssinia, they were having a war dance or a war play, and they were doing that in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ was watching, and also Aisha radiallahu anha from behind him was watching them. Hassan ibn Thabit, he delivered poetry inside the masjid, and the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. So the masjid, generally avoiding selling and buying and so on, is established to embrace the community of Muslims and their needs. Alhamdulillah, I've seen in some of the masjid, they have a marquee in Manchester, a huge marquee, which is used for weddings. Which is, alhamdulillah, that's very good. Of course, provided that these weddings comply with the etiquettes and sunnah of Islam. There's nothing haram there. And alhamdulillah, that really pays for the center, because it's a huge center. Also, a masjid should entail a library of books, and you can find that in many, many masjids. One of the biggest libraries I've ever seen in a masjid is in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi. There is a library on the roof, which I have been there, I think, around 2003 or so. And I have seen books. Alhamdulillah, I'm very interested in books. At least I know their existence. But I saw titles in tafsir and hadith that I have never even heard of in one huge place. Al-Masjid, dear brothers and sisters, should be brought back to what it used to be in the past. Hence, for any community, small or large, the masjid is extremely important. Now, of course, we know that the Prophet ﷺ says in As-Sahihain, عن عثمان بن عفان, مرفوعاً من بنى لله مسجداً يبتغي به وجه الله بنى الله له مثله في الجنة. And also in another hadith, من بنى مسجدا لله ولو كمفحص قطا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. Whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a home, a house for that person. But you may say, but I don't have, I can't really build a whole masjid. But in the other hadith, it says that even if it was as small as the nest of the game, one of these small birds, al-qata, that much. So that much in a masjid could be 100 pounds, it could be 50 pounds, it could be 1,000 pounds. So whatever contribution someone puts, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous, will build you a home in al-Jannah. And be assured, if you have a home in Jannah, small or big, you will have to go to it by the will of Allah, inshallah. So, and also one of the seven that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, السبعَ الَّذِينَ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. One of the seven that, or the seven categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade them with his shade in a day that there is no shade but his shade, is a man that his heart is hung in the masjid. So even when he is in the masjid, that person is very happy. But when he has to leave to do his other business and things and look after his family, etc., then his heart is still in the masjid. So next time there is a salah, he hasten to go back to al-masjid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall shade that person in the shade of his shade in a day that there is no shade but the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A masjid, dear brothers and sisters, is not also only about building it, it's about looking after it. And I just want to say one very small story, that there was a woman, a very poor woman, looking after the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. She used to sweep the masjid, clean it from any dirt or anything that comes to it. And one day the Prophet ﷺ looked around, and the woman is described to be very poor and almost unknown. تقم المسجد, or in some other languages, تخم المسجد, is to really sweep the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ, where is so-and-so? He said, oh, she died last night. He said, subhanallah. And we buried her. He said, why didn't you call me? He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, you were asleep. We did not want to bother you. So he was not happy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he went to the graveyard, stood in front of her qabr, grave, and he prayed Salatul Janazah, and four takbirat, and made dua for that woman. So, and that is, it shows that if you miss Salatul Janazah, you are able to do that. Salatul Janazah, not the ordinary Salah, yeah? Because the Prophet ﷺ also said, do not take the graveyards as places of worship, because they are not places of worship. So the Prophet ﷺ missed that woman, who was looking after the masjid. The masjid is not about, dear brothers and sisters, just being able to afford it. It's about maintaining it. It's about attending to it. It's about attending the five prayers. If you attend the five prayers, you are actually establishing that masjid. Because without you, the masjid will be empty and it will have no purpose. The masjid is about everybody contributing something. Do not belittle what you can contribute in terms of masjid. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. Alhamdulillah wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiya. I deliver this khutbah based on Alhamdulillah, a fact that this place, this church with the facilities, with the residence of the priest, car parks, gardens, this hall of course, as well as the main building, are for sale. And I know that the brothers in this community got together and had a meeting, and they are very interested to buy this place. The total area is around 2 acres, and the price is around £4 to £5 million. Now, one thing I'd like to say, dear brothers and sisters, this is a huge opportunity, and this opportunity, inshallah, should be seized by all of the members of this community and beyond. Even the surrounding communities should come to the aid of to achieve that purpose. I have some few words to say. Of course, first of all, you need to think of the masjid in the bigger sense of serving the community of Muslims and further afield, the further community of the non-Muslims, through invitations, through exhibitions, through explaining what Islam is, through inviting them to our celebrations, etc. So think of this place as for your children to receive some Islamic education, maybe some areas to play, also to celebrate occasions, and so on. So try to widen your view of this place. If you do, then it becomes more and more important. And then it becomes not as big as you think. You may think, oh, £4-5 million. But remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when asked Ibrahim, he says, call people for Hajj. Call people for Hajj. There was no satellite stations, no radios, no. So he was on his own in a place that is almost deserted, and people across the world couldn't hear him. So he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I call for Hajj? Who is going to hear me? He said, don't worry, you call and it is me who is going to make your voice reach. عَلَيْكَ الْأَذَانِ وَعَلَيْكَ النِّدَاءِ وَعَلَيَّ الْبَلَاغِ. I will make your voice reach. It's not your business really to achieve the goal. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not that you think, oh, who's going to get that sort of money? Who's going to look after the place? How many rows are there going to be in Fajr? You may ask yourself, and you may be right. But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw in your hearts and the people surrounding this place the importance of this this project and the importance of transferring it to a masjid by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have a few things to say. First of all, you need to have ikhlas, sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rid yourself from any personal gains whatsoever. And whatever you do, whether you say to someone, by the way, we have a big project, please can you help us? You've done something. Or you contribute as little or as much as you can, or ask others to contribute, or to think that inshallah, when the place is there, I will do A, B, C in that place. I will help with the library. I will help with the kitchen, etc. So with sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to achieve His pleasure and His reward, we approach this project. Also, to rid our chests from anything against our brothers and sisters. There is nothing that destroys projects, dear brothers and sisters, but that animosities that we may have towards one another for a good reason or a bad reason. Oh, but he shouts, or he does this, or he didn't do this, or once I had this argument with him. Subhanallah. And we want Allah to forgive our big sins, and we cannot even forgive the small sins. Rid yourself of anything you feel against one another. Try to approach the community with love and affection and brotherhood and sisterhood. Think that this is a collective project. It is not for X or Y or Z. X or Y and Z, a few people who spearhead the project, who try to get the community together. But it's not for them. It is for all of you. And you have to have that sense of belonging, sense of unity, sense of coherent community to achieve that. Contribution. Whatever you can contribute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help at the end of the day if Allah knows the sincerity of our hearts. Contribute not only by money, because that's unfortunately what we always think. Because not everyone is blessed with a lot of money. If you have some, give some. But you may have ideas, you may have ability to design, ability to talk, ability to market, ability to think of it as business. So you need all of that elements, marketing, business, planning, etc. Within that. And it takes and it needs all your efforts and all your variety of skills to make it, inshallah, a success. Think of the masjid as a project, a collective project for the present and for the future. Also think of it as a way to protect us as a community. We are still a minority here. Protect us from any evil that can come to us. Because if we try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after us. And at the end of it, of course, there could be many, many messages, but I would say make it into a modern project. Try to display modern things in it. For example, solar energy or wind energy or whatever, for example, maybe change some of that, make it into glass, etc. Make it more modern if we can afford that. And also make it modern in a sense of inclusiveness of all the communities. It's not doesn't belong to the Pakistanis or the Arabs or Bangladeshi or anyone, but it belongs to all the Muslims. And also it is an open heart and an open arm to the non-Muslims to come and see how the Muslims worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they communicate, how they think, how they believe, and by the will of Allah, it will happen, insha'Allah. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa arzuqna itiba'ah. وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وأعلي كلمة الحق والدين اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقصمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة